time is 18 minutes before the hour, and you are tuned to Juno Afternoon. This is Cheryl Snyder, your host for today. And just a reminder, you can stay up to date on events coming out of Anchorage today after this morning's earthquake on our website at ktoo.org. And you can get continual live coverage on 360 North TV and at 360north.org. Our final guest for today and our featured chef for Foodie Friday is writer Jeff Kirsch. Hi, Jeff. Hi. You're laughing just
featured
at the...
chef. I didn't realize that was part of it.
You're a chef. We're all chefs in our own way if we cook at home, even
Foodie
if we're scrambling
Friday.
Eggs.
All right.
Yeah. So, well, we invited you in today because Hanukkah starts on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And in honor of that, you have graciously agreed to read your hilarious piece on how to prepare latkes with your children. Let's start with that reading and then we'll chat afterwards.
Okay. Sure. Because making the perfect Hanukkah latke or potato pancake is kind of a pain in the tuchus, no translation needed, your usual first step is just buying instant latke mix. But you live in Southeast Alaska now, not New York City. You can't find instant latke mix, not for 1,000 miles, literally. So not only will you make latkes the hard way, you're making them for 30 because Juneau's a small town, and once you ask one person, you're compelled to invite everyone else you know, lest they find out later on Facebook. Also, there's something satisfying about feeding a crowd, particularly with a dish even more quintessentially Jewish than Chinese food on Christmas Day. But that's a different recipe. Today, it's latkes. Upping the difficulty, two kids will be helping. But you've cooked with them before. You are ready for their help, provided you stay alert. Just as you never turn your back on the sea, you don't take your eyes off an 8-year-old sous chef. Begin with potatoes. Your recipe, a variation on your grandmother's, calls for russets. Y'all be using Yukon Gold, partly in homage to the Great Northwest, but also no peeling. Remember what happened when your kids helped with the Thanksgiving mashed potatoes? No need to relive that debacle. Grandmom's recipe yields 25 latkes. You will quadruple then have it, one portion for each child. Warning, do the math in advance. Your version calls for several bottles of beer, not for the batter, but for you. Numbers can get tricky later on. Speaking of which, defrost a hunk of salmon in case of epic failure. Be thankful you live in Alaska, where a 15-minute replacement meal can be grilled wild sockeye. Lower 48, it'd be freezer-burned Trader Joe's meatballs. Grate potatoes and onions in a 5-to-1 ratio, in this case, 25 and 5. Unless you've recently stocked up on Band-Aids at Costco, do not hand grate. Remember that Cuisinart you got as a wedding gift and only use once a year? Let this be that once. While food processing, explicitly designate who hits the button and who pushes the plunger, alternating if necessary to keep the peace. This is possibly the most important step, aside from establishing two separate, identical, non-breakable workstations. Failure to follow these steps might still yield perfect latkes, but will likely turn a pleasant holiday activity into a three-way intergenerational meltdown, and who needs that on Hanukkah? By the way, if you haven't already, go ahead and open that beer. Turn on some music. Not Hanukkah music, not even kids' music, but music you actually like. Something cheerful. Whatever puts you in a good mood. No Radiohead. Next, place shredded potato onion mixture into two kitchen towels, one per child. Wring out excess liquid, loosen, and wring again, this time by yourself. Seriously, the more moisture you remove, the crispier the latkes. This requires thorough adult handiwork. Create a diversion by breaking out cheese sticks. Need more time? Open a package of dried seaweed. Personally, you can't stand the stuff, but your kids claim eating it makes them feel like dinosaurs, and you can't argue with that, even though it smells like dead fish and crumbles into a zillion shards that turn to dust when you try to pick them up. At this point, your wife will text, forcing you to touch her phone with sticky, starchy, oniony, seaweed-encrusted fingers. She's adding another family, winking smiley face. That's cool. You've anticipated this. You're making 100 latkes, and 100 latkes is a whole lot of latkes. Although, you will run out of applesauce. You always run out of applesauce. Fear not. Latkes also go well with ketchup, mustard, honey mustard, barbecue sauce, blue cheese, maple syrup, sriracha mayo, any dip really. They're excellent calorie shovels. Set aside batter and ask if anyone needs to go potty. After pee break, hopefully just pee, into each mixing bowl crack 6 eggs, 12 total, 3 from the original, quadrupled, but again, split equally between two children. You understand why you do the math beforehand? Purell on standby. Combine eggs with, ideally, matzo meal, but good luck finding that locally. Or most likely crushed up saltines, half cup per bowl, 1 cup total, and baking powder, 1 heaping tablespoon per bowl, 2 total. Open second beer. Stir in salt and pepper to taste. Grandmom had high blood pressure. Seasonings are way off in all her recipes. She also had chronic acid reflux. Go ahead and add chopped garlic, too. Blend potato mixture with egg mixture, stirring until coated. Batter should be moist but not soupy. If needed, thicken with more potato or substitute shredded carrots. Why not sneak in legit veggies? Sure, you're also serving salad, but your kids won't eat salad. Oh, they'll ask for it. They'll even compel you to fetch extra dressing, feta, and craisins, but they won't eat it. Salad in front of other kids? Never. Preheat oven to 200. With children at a safer move, in a skillet, heat 1/8 of an inch canola oil. Traditionally, you'd fry latkes in rendered chicken fat, a.k.a. schmaltz, but that's a mail order item for sure, and you're not about to overnight a brick of schmaltz from Brooklyn. Plus, half your friends are vegetarian anyway. While the oil heats, tell your kids the story of Hanukkah and how it celebrates a small band of ancient Hebrews who, after defeating the Syrian Greek army and liberating Jerusalem, redirected the Holy Temple by lighting 1 day's worth of oil that miraculously lasted 8 until more could arrive from neighboring trade partners. Tell them this explains the ceremonial 8-candled Hanukkah menorah and the customary eating of fried foods. It's also the first documented warning about over-reliance on foreign oil. Open third beer. Working in batches, drop spoonfuls of batter into skillet, flattening with spatula. Cook until golden brown, approximately 3 minutes per side. Transfer latkes to paper towel-lined dish, then into oven while frying the remainder. When finished, change your clothes and shower, as you will reek worse than a KFC dumpster. Later, after the kids go to sleep, this will make it tough to cash in with your wife for facilitating such a tasty impromptu Hanukkah party. Serve latkes warm with applesauce, sour cream, or whatever your favorite condiment. Queso? Deservedly self-content for overcoming your usual laziness. Realistically, nothing competes with American Christmas, not even the Super Bowl. But tonight, you've created a meaningful cultural experience for your family and friends while simultaneously making your kids feel just a little bit less bad about not having a tree. Also, you got them new bikes. That helps too.
Jeff, thank you so much. It's so great. It's so funny. So well
Thanks.
Written.
I wonder how I'm anyhow. But I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to I used to do readings like that all the time. And so it's fun to do. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And we actually have a real recipe infused. Oh,
that's
in
a
that
real.
Whole
oh, that's an actual recipe that makes really quite good latkes. Actually.
I've had your latkes. They are delicious.
I'm getting ready to make hundreds of them next week. So I'm bringing them into both my kids' classes, and then we'll have them at home. And then we've actually been saving potatoes that we grew in our own garden. Specifically, we've earmarked for this. We didn't get a huge yield.
Is it Tlingit potatoes? Did you grow the Tlingit potatoes?
I don't know. They're purple.
They're
so
purple.
That's
they
all
might not
I know.
Be the Tlingit potatoes, but they're purple latkes. That's going to be fabulous.
Yeah.
So the recipe, does that actually – it's a real recipe. Did
yeah,
it come from
recipe.
Your grandma?
Yep.
And did you make them with her when you were a kid?
I would have had to have, I guess. And I believe that they used to – my mom and my grandma used to, like, bring the stuff in and, like, fry them up in my classroom and stuff when I was a kid. So that's sort of – I feel like is my – that's the least I can do. Plus also, they're very tasty latkes. So it's a big hit with the with everyone, including the teachers and the staff. And I usually – like I said, I make hundreds. Once you're frying stuff, as everyone out there knows, with halibut, once you start, you may as well just go ahead and fry
going.
Every single thing that you have because – you know, you paid for the oil, so you may as well. You may as well. The miracle
keep
using will last.
It.
You can fry everything in your house.
So we figured out a little trick with making latkes. Mm-hmm. Rather than frying them on the stovetop, we put about 1/4 inch of oil on a cookie sheet, and we lay out. It's like latke cookies. We can put 12 per tray. 2 trays at a time, we can cook 24 latkes in the oven in about 15 minutes. You got to like flip them a couple times, but you don't get all that grease splattering around the kitchen.
That's
You might have to give it a try.
Good.
Yeah, you might have to give it a try.
You tell me this now after I read this whole recipe.
Oh, anyway,
that sounds like a very good idea, actually. So maybe I actually will try that out. But.
So I grew up in a household where we did all the traditional stuff on top, just the applesauce, just the sour cream. Have you actually put some of the other items?
Yeah, but only since leaving my own parents' house. Like, they would not necessarily approve of it, which is wacky because it's just something that people are eating. But yes, no. Since moving here, we've gotten – you know, crazy with the. It's actually very, very good with smoked salmon, like a little smoked salmon on top of there. And like, cream fraiche or cream cheese or sour cream or whatever is really, really
delicious.
Good, actually.
Delicious. Yeah. I had the chance to be in Russia a number of years ago now. And they would serve potato latkes in a lot of different restaurants. It wasn't for Hanukkah. It's just traditional food.
It's Eastern
European. They would put fresh cream and either caviar or lox on top. And I have recently been thinking we should try that this year.
Yep. You definitely should.
Yeah, it would be great. We were talking, Jeff, a little bit about kind of the history of the potato pancake. The Jews 3,000 years ago, this holiday is almost 3,000 years old, they were not eating potato pancakes with sour cream.
There were no potatoes even in that part of the world.
So where did the tradition of potato pancakes come
in? Well, so the frying was something that always was done. Like oil, everyone has oil all over the world, you know, derived from some type of like bio whatever. That's like a very early development everywhere. But so, you know, that the frying was something that was done. But a lot of Jews that live in this country in the United States originally came from Eastern Europe. And that's like a whole branch of Judaism known as Ashkenazi. And so they came with a lot of European traditions. And so actually a lot of what you think of as or what even we think of as Jewish tradition are actually Eastern European traditions that because thousands of years ago when the Jews got kicked out of Israel, also thousands of years ago, some of them went there and some of them went to the Mediterranean areas. And so anyway, that just happened to be how it is. But you could fry anything. I mean, there's another one, right? Sufganiyot, which is donuts. And so we're not making donuts, but we are making donut ice cream. So
what is donut ice cream?
You make ice cream in the ice cream maker and then you cut up donuts and throw them in at the end.
That sounds unbelievably decadent and
yeah, it takes
delicious.
A real
great topper to a meal of fried potatoes.
Oh yeah, no, I bet the fried potato dunked in there would be really good too, like a French fry and milkshake kind of thing.
Yeah,
but So donuts and potato pancakes are the traditional food, and so that instantly makes it like the favorite holiday of all the kids, and also the one that, you know, makes it easiest to do because everyone's really excited. So it's a lot of work, but it's for a good cause, you know, I guess, as it were.
Yeah. So at the end of your essay, you mentioned that, you know, you create this big party and hopefully it's going to make up for not having a tree in your house. That's also a subject of another essay that you've written.
It is. And actually is the subject of an ongoing debate in my house that continues to this day.
Can you talk about that a little bit, the experience of Jewish kids?
You know, it's – I don't know. And, you know, I'm going to sound – what is the thing is I'm going to sound like an old man now and it's too bad. But – it's just not something that we did, and it's just – and of course also Christmas trees have about as much to do with Christmas as Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It comes from like Scandinavian tradition, right? So it doesn't really symbolize anything aside from just having a tree with putting lights on it. And, you know, I feel that you should be free to do whatever you want as long as you're not hurting anyone else, right? I mean that's – so then why can't we have a tree? But at the same time, like I feel as though my parents – if they were alive, they are alive, but this would kill them. And if my grandparents, if they were alive, this would kill them again. That was a joke. And I totally messed it up. But anyway, that's exactly, I just feel as though if they could, I realize that that also is kind of hypocritical. And usually it's not that much of a, it's not nearly as big of a deal. In New York, where I used to live like 12 years ago, a significant portion of the population doesn't celebrate Christmas, not just Jews, but Muslims and also Buddhists. And, you know, so and the city stays open, basically some things close. But here it's a lot more pervasive. And, you know, I feel bad for my kids. And we put lights up because Hanukkah is the festival of lights. So we have all kinds of lights and we're frying up pancakes and potato pancakes and eating donuts every night for 8 days. And so I feel as though that Also a lot neater than a tree. And also a tree is a fire hazard, and I'm definitely the kind of idiot that would burn his house down with a tree. So I feel like I could keep it out of my house then. Yeah.
Jeff, terrific. Well, if people want to read more of your writing, where can they find your work?
So I've been writing Slack Tide. It's a column in the Juno Empire every second and fourth Sunday of the month for like 10 years almost now. And I'm supposed to be working on a book. And so hopefully now that I'm here, like on the radio saying it out loud, like that actually
your
will do it.
Your feet are going to be held to the fire.
But it would be great to have one out for this, like, you know, 10-year anniversary or whatever. And some people still – I mean, people are still reading it, which is really amazing. I haven't done anything for 10 years. So that's it.
All right, Jeff. Thank you so much for coming in.
No, thanks for having me. This is always a lot of fun.
Yeah, have a very happy Hanukkah.
You too.
This is a song that there's a lot of Christmas songs out there and not too many Hanukkah songs. So wrote a song for all those nice little Jewish kids who don't get to hear any Hanukkah songs. Here we go. Put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the festival of lights.